University of Maine women's basketball team plays for the America East Championship Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock against Hartford at the Cross Insurance Center. A win sends them to the NCAA tournament. Where will they play? Who would they play? Well, I have no idea, but our next guest might. He is the bracketologist for basketball, women's basketball, ESPN. Charlie Cream with us this afternoon. Charlie, welcome back to the show.
Oh, Rich, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
So I'm looking at your bracket, the latest one you posted, and you've got the Black Bears, or whoever wins, America East here on Friday, taking on a little team called the Tennessee Volunteers.
That's right. I think I'm pretty solid on my number three seed. So if you kind of follow along and believe that if Maine wins the game, that they would fall into that 14 line, which I also think would be the case, although it could possibly be maybe a 15. But let's just assume for now that it's a 14. I think Knoxville is a pretty reasonable place for them to go. Perhaps maybe Columbus to play Ohio State. But I think those under the current circumstances, as I see it, those would be the two most logical places that Maine would end up.
And given the relative strength of the conference, can you see any scenario where even if Hartford were to win, that Maine could earn an at-large bid?
I do not see that scenario. There is such a crowd, frankly, around the bubble with teams that carry even 3 and 4 top 50 RPI wins, that to break into that would be impossible. So Maine's just too far down the list in terms of RPI to warrant an at-large bid or really even strong consideration.
What did
the bearer of bad news? I'm sorry.
No, not at all. What did Mississippi State's loss do to your expectations of who might end up with number one seeds?
You know what? That loss actually didn't do anything. Mississippi State had put together a resume that was pretty ironclad, and only losing one game all year. This doesn't change the fact that they were, by everybody's estimation, the second best team in the country for the entirety of the season. I think what it does do is maybe raise some question marks about Mississippi State's national championship viability, or are they still truly the best team to compete with UConn should it get to that point? But in terms of them being a number one, there was nobody there waiting to take Mississippi State's spot on the one line. We've had a lot of discussion about Baylor. Should Baylor be a number one seed? But it's always been rather than Notre Dame, not rather than Mississippi State, even though those are the two teams on the one line that currently did not win their conference tournament.
So let's go through who you have as your likely number one seeds. And obviously we start with Connecticut. Ain't nobody touching the Huskies.
No, it's unlikely. Although we kind of felt that way last year too, and they had a game that they would like to forget, and Mississippi State have one that they'll never forget, and it happened. But in terms of going into the tournament, certainly no one's touching the Huskies as the number one overall seed, and I can't imagine under any possible circumstances that UConn will lose before the Final Four, if in fact that could happen at all. But Connecticut's certainly the number one overall seed. Mississippi State's still the number two overall seed, and Louisville and Notre Dame are 3 and 4, so those are your four number one seeds. Baylor's right there, and if math worked out this way, and the bracket could work out this way, I would say that we really have five number one seeds this year, but you can't do that, obviously. It doesn't really make the bracket work. That poor number 16 seed would have to play two games. That's not fair. So Baylor is the odd team out as far as I can see it right now, largely due to the injury to their point guard that was a borderline All-American who's now out with an ACL injury, Christy Wallace, and won't be available to play in the tournament.
We're talking with Charlie Cream, ESPN's women's basketball bracketologist. I see you have our old friend Joanne Palumbo-McCauley and her Duke Blue Devils as a 5 seed.
Yes, Duke was actually strongly in the mix for top 16 and the ability to host some games in Durham, but they fell early in the ACC tournament to NC State. And following their win over Florida State on Big Monday, but the week prior, I really thought that Duke was in the top 16, but that loss to NC State booted them out because other teams kept elevating, including the Wolfpack. And Duke, in my mind, will end up as a 5 seed, won't be hosting games, but a team that could compete certainly to make the Sweet 16. I'm not sure if Duke has much more to get beyond that. They're dealing with a pretty major injury themselves, and their depth isn't really what it probably needs to be in order to really make a serious run to a Final Four.
Charlie, what do you think is the strongest conference right now in women's basketball?
Oh, that's a great question. It kind of goes back and forth. I think this year, from a depth perspective, the ACC, but the ACC still has some teams at the bottom that are pretty much gimme wins. The SEC is right there behind it, but the SEC was a very, very definitive split this year. The top seven teams were very good. The rest of the league was not so good. And with a couple of exceptions, nobody from the bottom part of the league beat anybody in the top part of the league on the SEC. So I would rank them ACC 1, SEC 2. And it's been a down year in the Big 12. Normally that's the number 3 conference. The Pac-12 hasn't been quite as good all the way to the bottom that it has been in the last couple of years. And the Big 10's just been kind of a bunch of teams that look a lot the same. So I think really we're looking at ACC and SEC with a little bit of separation after that for the number 3 spot.
We haven't talked about them. You've got them as a 2 seed. How good is this year's South Carolina team?
They're very good. And a few of their losses came with the best player, Asia Wilson, injured and not playing. So that has to be taken into consideration. They're not quite good enough to be a 1 seed this year based on these other teams we already talked about. But their win going through the SEC tournament in fairly dominant fashion, even against Mississippi State, I think gives a lot of people in Columbia hope that a return trip to the Final Four is in hand. The only problem I have with South Carolina and kind of their fate is that if the bracket shapes out and the committee is consistent with where they've put teams in the reveals that they've had along the way here, the last one they had on February 19th, if they're consistent with that, then the way the bracket's going to shape up, South Carolina is likely going to end up in the Albany region, which is also where UConn is. That makes obviously getting to the Final Four a much bigger task than it would be if they were placed anywhere else.
Do you? I know obviously you hear from fans of teams at this time of year. Do you hear from coaches at all?
I don't. A little bit on Twitter. Some coaches will reach out. Jose Fernandez of South Florida has been reaching out to me quite a bit because he feels his team should be in the top 16 and should be allowed to host games. And he's still growing his program, so that would obviously be a big boost to the program if they could do that. So it's a bigger concern for him than maybe it is for some other coaches. And he regularly reaches out to me, kind of making his case why his team should be in the top 16. And he actually has a pretty good case. Unfortunately, based on those reveals that the committee's had, South Florida has never cracked that top 16. So I have a feeling that they're going to be on the outside looking in again here and not being able to host. But he does have a good program. He's been the big one that's reached out. Over the years, occasionally, a few of them will contact me. I think this is kind of a funny story. Last year, I was sitting in Bristol doing some hits on the coverage of Championship Sunday, and I get a phone call, and it's Kelly Graves of Oregon. And his question wasn't, are we in or were we out, although it was sort of indirectly that was a question. His question was, Charlie, I'm thinking about having a Selection Monday party. I need you to tell me, should I have just a quiet thing at my house for the team, or should I go all out and do all of the trimming? And I said, Coach, I said, go for it. So basically, I was bracketologist / party planner for that brief moment in time when Kelly Graves called me. So that was kind of he's a fun guy, and he has a good time. He doesn't take himself or his job all that seriously. He's intense, and he wants to win, but he has fun with stuff like that, and he wanted to provide the most possible fun for his team without letting them down if the news was bad.
I love it. It's a great story. Well, we're excited up here. Wherever Maine goes, we'll be happy to see them get back into the tournament. And if it's a trip down to Tennessee, we're all for it. Charlie, you do a great job. We appreciate you making time for us at this very busy time of year, and we'll talk with you again down the road.
Anytime, Rich. Love to.
That's Charlie Crane, the ESPN women's basketball bracketologist here on Downtown.